Hello and welcome to episode 825 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Thursday, March 7th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, the feast day of St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas, ora pro nobis. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Thursday prayer. To the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels, and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears, and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me. For whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Mary, in how many dangers I now am, and shall be as long as I live in this world, of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I have placed all my hopes. I love thee and sigh to go soon to see thee and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet and contemplate my mother who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell and has dispensed me so many graces when, on account of my sins, I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can, in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy Son Jesus, as I also beseech him, by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase his confidence in me, and I shall be saved. Speaking of St. Thomas Aquinas, we return to his Meditations for Lent. This is available for free at fisheaters.com, the excellent Catholic website. Third Thursday of Lent, the preaching of the Samaritan woman. The woman therefore left her water pot and went her way into the city. John 4:28. This woman, once Christ had instructed her, became an apostle. There are three things which we can gather from what she said and what she did. One, the entirety of her surrender to our Lord. This is shown, number one, from the fact that she left lying there, almost as if forgotten, that for which she had come to the well, the water and the water pot. So great was her absorption. Hence it is said, the woman left her water pot and went away into the city, went away to announce the wonderful works of Christ. She cared no longer for the bodily comforts in view of the usefulness of better things. Following in this the example of the apostles, of whom it is said that, leaving their nets, they followed the Lord, Mark 1:18. The water pot stands for fashionable desire, by means of which men draw up pleasures from those depths of darkness signified by the well, that is, from practices which are of the earth, earthy. Those who abandon such desires for the sake of God are like the woman who left her water pot. If I can jump in for a moment here, obviously there's nothing wrong with getting water from the well in and of itself. We need food to eat. We need water to drink. We need the necessities of life. But with the woman here, there is a sort of holy forgetfulness, isn't there? Once she's convicted of what our Lord is saying, once she's instructed by her, once she has that interaction with the Lord, she surrenders to the Lord utterly. And the things of this world, not that important anymore. The things of the spiritual life suddenly have a new significance. So you could say she had a radical conversion experience from this encounter with our Lord. And our Lord comes to us in different ways. For some people, it's a radical conversion experience. For others, it's something that takes place slowly over time. But for all of us, we have to take up our cross with him day after day after day, month after month, year after year. Being a Catholic isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. And we're not finished until we're in the kingdom. And even then, please God, we make it there. We'll be interceding. We'll be praying for those here on earth, the church militants. Being Catholic certainly is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time conversion experience. It's an ongoing process of surrendering to the Lord, of putting him first in all things, of responding to his grace. Number two, St. Thomas says, from the multitude of people to whom she tells the news, not to one, nor to two or three, but to a whole city. This is why she went away into the city. In other words, she wants to tell everyone. This is why missionary work is such a beautiful thing. I'm reading a biography right now of Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre, a man who I believe many others think one day, in better times, he will be declared not only a saint, but also a doctor of the church, doctor of the priesthood. He was all about forming seminarians properly. And my goodness, the Society of St. Pius X does a better job of it than anyone else. But he went to Africa. He was a Frenchman. He went to Africa, the Holy Ghost Fathers, to preach the good word. And I wonder if perhaps some point in the future, maybe the fruits of his labors, I'm sure there have been many, but one of them might be a pope from Africa. Who knows? So the Samaritan woman just didn't want to tell a couple of people about her encounter with the Lord. She wanted to tell everyone. She wanted to tell the whole city. And that's what the joy of the gospel does for us, the joy of that encounter with our Lord. When you have a beautiful gift, you don't want to close it off. You want to share it with everyone. Two, St. Thomas says, a method of preaching. She saith to the men there, come and see a man who has told me all things whatsoever I have done. Is not he the Christ? John 4:29. Number one, she invites them to look upon Christ. Come and see a man. She did not straightaway say that they should give themselves to Christ, for that might have been for them an occasion for blasphemy. But to begin with, she told them things about Christ which were believable and open to observation. She told them he was a man. Nor did she say, believe, but come and see. For she knew that if they too tasted of that well, looking, that is, upon our Lord, they too would feel all she had felt. And she follows the example of a true preacher, and that she attracts the men not to herself, but to Christ. This is sublime, of course. It's St. Thomas Aquinas. He's the angelic doctor, so not many in the history of the church who communicate the gospel better than her. That's what a saint does, right, friends? Attracts the person ultimately not to themselves, but to the Lord. You might see holiness in another person, but you're not going to stop there. You're going to say, okay, from whence is this source? And that saint, right, that holy person is going to point you to the Lord. Who does that better than anyone? Our Lady. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Everything about her life, speaking of the Blessed Mother, all of her thoughts, words, and actions are geared towards God. She's consumed with love of God. And she points everyone ultimately toward the Lord. Our Lord's first public miracle, changing water into wine, the wedding feast at Cana. What does she say? Look at how holy I am? Of course not. Do whatever he tells you. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, holy people and interactions with holy people ultimately will lead you to a deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the saints do. That's what the angels do. They guide us to Jesus. Number two, she gives them a hint that Christ is God when she says, a man who has told me all things whatsoever I have done. That is to say, how many husbands she had had. She is not ashamed to bring up things that make for her own confusion, because the soul, once it is lighted up with the divine fire, in no way looks to earthly values and standards, cares neither for its own glory nor its shame, but only for the flame which holds and consumes it. In other words, this goes back to being forgetful of herself. You know, she's not embarrassed by her own misdeeds in this instance, because she wants to tell people about the Lord. That's the most important thing. It's not her past and her sins. It's not getting water from the well. It's, I've had this amazing encounter and I need to share it with people, and everything else goes by the wayside. Number three, she suggests that this proves the majesty of Christ, saying, is not he the Christ? She does not dare to assert that he is the Christ, lest she have the appearance of wishing to teach others. And the others, irritated thereat, refuse to go out to him. Nor, on the other hand, does she leave the matter in silence, but she puts it before them questioningly, as though she left it to their own judgment, for this is the easiest of all ways of persuasion. In other words, she's not forcing anything on them. She's saying, is he not the Christ? Leaving it up to them to decide. So there are many ways of evangelizing, but one of the best ways of doing it is, you know, presenting information to the people you're discoursing with and then leaving it up to them. Is he not the Christ? I'm not telling this to you. I'm not forcing it upon you. We can't force anyone to convert. She's merely presenting our Lord to them. Three, the fruit of preaching. They therefore went out of the city and came unto Christ. John 4:30. Hereby it is made clear to us that if we would come to Christ, we too must go out of the city, which is to say, we must lay aside all love of bodily delights. Let us go forth therefore to him without the camp. Hebrews 13:13. In other words, sometimes we have to get outside of our comfort zone. When we're preaching the gospel, we have to dare to take risks and be a little bit bold for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because wasn't he bold in his preaching, in standing up to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? So there's a holy type of boldness that we need to preach the gospel with. Not being arrogant, not being haughty, but knowing that as a Catholic, you've been given the fullness of the faith. You've been baptized into the one true religion, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And then if you've been confirmed, part of being confirmed is having that missionary zeal. And we receive that from the Holy Ghost. We do nothing of our own volition. It's all coming from God. And like the Samaritan woman, once we've had that experience, we don't want to keep it in. When you have that gift, you have that precious gift of faith, you want to share it with other people. You want to tell everyone about it. All right. Let us conclude here before we mention helping autism through learning and outreach. Get to our prayer for the conversion of the Jews. Most sweet Jesus, Redeemer of the human race, turn thine eyes of mercy toward the children of that race, once thy chosen people. Of old they called down upon themselves the blood of the Savior. May it now descend upon them a laver of redemption and of life. Amen. And let's talk about helping autism through learning and outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org, that's H-A-L-O www.ourlady-of-fatima.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. We had to guess as to what all of her wants and needs were. Don't have to do that anymore because of God's grace, first and foremost, her hard work and that of her family, breaking through to open communication with RPM. We know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. Communication is a human right. RPM is taking non-speakers out of the prison of silence that they were in and getting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. Put yourself in the situation, the predicament of a non-speaker, and you can't even tell your family what you want for breakfast, let alone have in-depth conversations about your hopes and your dreams. It's no place anyone should be. So please help us out in this regard. Get that information out there. If you don't know a non-speaker, you probably will at some point in your life. And I can vouch for the fact that they're some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent folk you could ever meet. But you have to be able to communicate with them. So thank you so much for helping out. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.